Whenever you hear a sermon at New Hope, to take notes. There's a much better chance you'll remember things if you take down notes. Don't go on Facebook, but take down some notes today. And today I'm preaching about the power of the name of Jesus. How many of you know there's power in the name of Jesus? Think about all the songs that we sing about that. What a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name. What about that other song? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Anyone under 30 is going, I don't know that song. Yeah. Any old people like me, you might remember it. In the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Thank you, brother. So I believe that we need to get a revelation of the power of the name of Jesus. You know, this week I had the privilege of being a part of a Zoom meeting with pastors from Africa, India, UK, America, and people from all over the world joined in on Zoom. And we talked about what is God doing in the middle of COVID, in the middle of the riots, in the middle of the financial crisis, you know. And there was a common word that came through, that God is preparing the church for revival. Amen. Is anybody excited about that? One person is. I believe that we're in this exciting season where we're getting ready for revival. In every previous revival, if you study it, there was either financial crisis, a pandemic, there were riots and lawlessness, there was a war, you know, whatever problem there was in the world, it got the church on their knees praying. And then the church prayed and fasted and sought God more than ever before, and then revival broke out in different parts of the world. You can study it. And right now we're in this season where we're seeing all this lawlessness and riots, we're seeing the pandemic, we're seeing financial crisis. People are hungry and desperate for the supernatural right now. And Jesus is the answer, amen? Jesus is the one that can save, heal, and deliver. Jesus is the only hope for our nation, the only hope for the nations of the world. And we prayed and we sought God together on this Zoom meeting, and we felt it was a bit like my wife had this vision a while back of a tsunami. Before the tsunami, the waves go back and everything gets dry and you're like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden the wave comes. I believe we're in that season. We've had a few months of lockdown. We've been able to have church in homes and praying and rebuilding the altars in our homes. And we've been getting ourselves right with God. We've been examining ourselves. And it's a time for a reset, a time for a rethink, a time for a relook at the way we do everything. And now it's time for revival for the church to truly be the bride of Christ in the last days. Anybody excited about that? I believe it's time. And I believe part of what we need is a revelation of the power of the name of Jesus, a revelation about the names of God. We need a revival of prayer and fasting. And part of our prayer and our fasting time should be declaring how great God is. I remember a preacher once saying, trying to comprehend the greatness of God is like trying to pour all the water in the ocean into one little cup. It's just massive, isn't it? However big you think God is bigger. He is awesome. You know, we use that word so flippantly these days. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, your shoes are awesome. Oh, I like that bag. It's awesome. I mean, come on. God is awesome. He is awesome. He is awe-inspiring. And I believe the church needs to get a revelation of the greatness of our God and of the power of the name of Jesus. So we're going to look at some of the names of God today, and I want you to get ready. You can take some screenshots and take some notes. I remember learning about the biblical names of God as a young fella, and it helped me guide me in my prayer life. It guided me in my worship. You think about God is called Elohim when revealing himself as the all-powerful creator. Everyone say Elohim. He is Jehovah Nissi. Everyone say Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is our banner of victory. That's the name you need to know when you need victory in your life. God is also Jehovah Rapha. Everyone say Jehovah Rapha. The Lord God who heals. When you're in need of provision, you need to know the name Jehovah Jireh. Everyone say Jehovah Jireh. You remember the song? Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. We need to declare that God is our provider. God has a name for every situation we find ourselves in. We need to learn the names of God, because when we know his character and his capacity, we find rest and we discover peace and power in his covenantal care for us. Most importantly, we need to know the power of the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know if you know the meaning of your name, but my wife regularly thanks God for me, because my name means gift from God. And praetor means to talk a lot. So it kind of fits me well, doesn't it, you know? My wife, her name's Carol, which means song of joy. And she is, isn't she? You know, Joshua means salvation. God of my salvation. Grace means unmerited favor or undeserved favor. My oldest girl, Lydia, in the Bible was a seller of fine purple cloth, which means she was really rich. And she cared for the disciples. She was hospitable. So that's why I named her that, so that she'd get rich and look after me when I'm old, you know. But you know what? There's power in a name. And we need to get a revelation of what the power of a name is. Think about Adam in the Garden of Eden. God made all the animals and he said, go and name them. Imagine being there. That is an elephant. Like, how would you come up with that? Isn't that weird? You know, we know what an elephant is, but imagine that there is an aardvark, or, you know, that is a snake, you know, that is a serpent. Amazing that God gave Adam the power to choose names. And God has given us dominion over the earth, you know. But there's power in a name. You think about it in the Bible, all the different people whose name was changed. Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. Simon became Peter. Saul to Paul. God is in the business of changing names, amen? From the old to the new. And when we come to Christ, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, amen? And you know what? You may have had people speak over you lots of curse words and bad names. I remember at school there were some terrible names that people would call people. I remember when I was a kid, I had really bad pimples and they called me Crater Face. Isn't that nasty? And, you know, that hurt, you know, when you're a kid and you know, when I was 15, I was quite short, actually. I had pimples, braces. They used to call me Brace Face as well, or train tracks, you know. So I had pimples. I had hair back then, long curly hair, blonde curly hair because I was a surfy kid. And I was skinny. And my grandpa, I remember, he used to call me Lucky Legs. Yeah, lucky your legs don't snap off, you know, because he's so skinny. I was skinny. I was, you know, my voice hadn't broken yet. I was like that kid on The Simpsons. I said, would you like some fries with that, you know? I was, you know, and I used to get called names, you know. I remember a school teacher said, Prater, you'll never amount to anything. You know, and you get these names, you get people speak things over you, you know. People are horrible, aren't they? Some of the things they say over people. You know what? But I've learned that that's not my identity. My identity is a child of the Most High God. God, my deliverer. God, my Savior. God, my way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. When you start to get a revelation of how great God is and that he's chosen you and he's called you, those names fall away, don't they? Those curse words, it's like water off a duck's back. It's like, I rebuke those words in the name of Jesus. I am a child of the Most High God. I am who he says I am. Amen? We need to get a revelation of the greatness of God and his name for us. What's he calling you to do? What's your identity in Christ? Are you a child of the Most High God? Then you need to live like it. Have you got an inheritance? You need to live like it. If you've got a calling and anointing, you need to live like it. Remember Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. God has called you to something great. Amen? We need to get our identity as a child, as a son, as a daughter of the Most High God. Remember last week, Pastor Alejandro was sharing a great message about the culture of the kingdom. And he just shared something that really stuck with me. He said that his daughter, Carielle, has been asking lots of questions. She's, what, 7 years old, is she? And she's always asking, Daddy, where did you come from? And what was life like? And how did you and Mummy meet? And you know, how did you become a Christian? And what does the Bible mean here? You know, she's just asking. Anybody got kids like that asking questions all the time, you know? And he felt God give him a revelation that she wants to get to know him. That's why she's asking all these questions, because the more she gets to know him, the more she gets to know her own identity as a daughter of Alejandro and Rebecca. The more she learns, the more she realizes who she is. And I believe that's a great revelation to have, and that's why we need to have our identity in who God is. Amen? We need to ask God. We need to learn the names of God. We need to come to God and pray and seek his face. The more we get to know him, the more we get to know who we are. Amen? We need a revelation of who we are in Christ. One of my favorite books that I have read to my children over the years is called You Are Special by Max Lucado. Who's heard of that book? Has anybody heard of that book? It's about the Wemmicks and Punchinello. If you haven't heard about it, I'll give you a quick summary. It's about a guy named Punchinello, and people would put labels on him. He lived in a village with many Wemmicks, and the Wemmicks would walk around all day giving each other either a gold star or a grey dot sticker. A Wemmick named Punchinello tried his best to receive gold stars from the other Wemmicks, but he only received grey dots because he wasn't doing well enough. One day he met a Wemmick named Lucia, who doesn't have any gold stars or grey dots because they don't stick to her. Punchinello didn't want any stickers on him either, so Lucia tells him to visit their maker, Eli. This is God. Eli explains to Punchinello that if he's not bothered by what the other people say about him, if he's not bothered by what the other Wemmicks think, then the stars and the dots won't stick to him either. In the story, being special is defined by the woodcarver Eli as being made uniquely. Punchinello goes to Eli and discovers that he matters to Eli because Eli made him and he wasn't a mistake. Eli tells Punchinello, "The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers." Punchinello doesn't completely understand, but when a grey dot falls off him at the end, we are to understand that the opinions of the other Wemmicks only stick to Punchinello if he truly cares about what they think about him. Maybe you've had grey dots put on you all of your life. Maybe people have spoken things over you. We need to not look to the outward things of man, but we need to look to God, amen? What is God saying about you? What is your name in Christ Jesus? What is your true identity? One of the ways that we get a revelation of our own identity in Christ is getting to know the name of Jesus and getting to know the names of God. Let's have a look at Matthew 1, verse 21. This is a famous verse about Jesus being introduced as the Messiah. Now, the name Jesus means Savior. It's the name of Joshua, the same name as Joshua in the Old Testament. And in Matthew 1, 21, it says, "He saves people from their sins." This is the word, this is where we get the word Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. You see, all through the Old Testament, it was prophesied that a Messiah would come. And, you know, some of the Jews recognize Jesus as the Messiah, but many of them haven't. Many of the Jews are still waiting for the Messiah to come. But how many of you know Jesus is the Messiah? He's the one that saves us, heals us, and delivered us. Christ is the other name for Jesus. Now, Jesus Christ, Christ isn't Jesus' surname. Christ is Jesus' description. Jesus, the Christ, Christ means anointed one, Messiah. And it's significant because of the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. Jesus means Savior. This is a special role. He saves us from the guilt of sin, and he cleanses us for his own in his own atoning blood. In John 3:17, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him." Has anybody ever been drowning in water and someone saved them? I remember getting swimming lessons as a kid and my swimming instructor saved me out of the, you know, pulled me out of the water. That's what happens when Jesus saved us, amen. We were drowning in our sin and he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of his righteousness, we can be saved through him. Amen? Jesus is our Savior. And you know, to pray a prayer in Jesus' name is to recognize that we're coming in the righteousness of Christ, not our own. We don't deserve to be heard by God, but Jesus does, and we come in the name of Jesus. We know John 14:6 tells us, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father but through me." It's only through Jesus' name that we can be saved. It's a little bit like my wife and I love going away on holidays at Wyndham Resorts or Wyndham Hotels. And the reason we go there is because Carol's uncle is a platinum member at Wyndham. And so he's like, he gets all these rewards whenever he stays. It's like timeshare, you know. And we go there and we turn up at the counter and say, "Oh, we're here staying under Uncle Tom's name." And they go, "Oh, yeah, yep, yeah, we're expecting you. here's your card, here's your privileges. We get free Wi-Fi, free movies, you know, tennis games, paddle boards, you know, you get discounts at the restaurant, you get all this, you get all these rewards because it's under Uncle Tom's name. How many of you know that's a blessing? We're signing in under Uncle Tom's name and we're getting the same privileges and rights that he has because he's a platinum member. That's the same thing when we come to Jesus. All the resources of heaven, the authority that Jesus had, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us, amen? We get the same privileges that Christ has. Jesus cast out demons. We have the same authority over demons, amen? Jesus healed the sick. We have the same authority over sickness, amen? Jesus cared for the poor and the lost and the broken. We have the same heart as Jesus, amen? When we sign up under Jesus, we have the same privileges that Jesus has. Now, if a stranger turned up at the Wyndham Resort and said, oh, I'm Bill Bloggs, I want to stay under Uncle Tom's name, do you think they'd let him in? Absolutely not, because he hasn't got approval from Uncle Tom to have those privileges. But what if he gets out his ID and goes, oh, here's my identity, I should be allowed in? They'll say, no, no, sorry, that's the wrong identity. It's only Matt and Carol that have those privileges. We're the only ones that have the authority to take those privileges. I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of Christians that actually don't have a relationship with Jesus and don't have the same authority and privileges. A lot of people that call themselves Christians, they may attend church, they may think they're a believer, but they don't have the same relationship with Jesus to walk in his authority and pray in his name. We've got to have a direct relationship with Jesus. You can't go and stay there under my name either. That won't do any good. You've got to do it under Uncle Tom's name. You can't get saved through me. You can only get saved directly through Jesus, amen? And you can only stay at Wyndham directly through Uncle Tom, just so you know. He's a blessing to us, I tell you. I just got to just declare, let you guys know, this is such a big deal. Pastors don't get paid much, you know. We can't afford good holidays. Ever since I became a pastor, Uncle Tom said, you can stay at Wyndham Resorts on my points. So every time we go on holidays, we stay in these beautiful places. It doesn't cost us a cent. It's the favor of God, amen? It's the blessing of God. The same thing when we come to know Jesus. Uncle Tommy's going to get some rewards in heaven. He's a blessing to us. What a powerful it is, the name of Jesus. Let's look at John 14, verse 13 to 14. You'll see this on your screens there. You know, to pray a prayer in the name of Jesus. This is what it's about. John 14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, some people misapply this verse, thinking that saying in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer automatically results in granting what you've asked for. This is essentially treating the words in Jesus' name as a magic formula. That is absolutely unbiblical. Does that mean if we say, I pray in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer, Jesus is obligated to give us everything we ask for in the prayer? Of course not. Praying in Jesus' name is not saying in Jesus' name is a part of the prayer. Praying in Jesus' name is the same thing as praying according to the will of God. Praying in Jesus' name is praying for things that will glorify Jesus. It's praying for the things that Jesus would want us to pray for. Should we say in Jesus' name in our prayers? Absolutely. If the things we are praying for will glorify Jesus, then yes. But the words themselves have no value or power if the things you're praying for are outside of or against God's will. So, for example, if you want to pray for the lost to be saved in Jesus' name, do you think Jesus is going to answer that prayer? Absolutely, because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. If you pray for people to be healed in Jesus' name, Jesus is going to answer that prayer. Who knows how or when he'll answer it, but he'll answer it because it's in his will to heal people, amen? When we ask for provision, God wants to provide because he loves us and wants to bless us. But if you pray for something that's outside of the will of God, you know, you pray for someone to, you know, get sick or something, that's not in Jesus' name. Jesus doesn't want people to get sick, does he, you know? We need to pray in order, in line with the will of God. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name, to pray with the authority of the name of Jesus. It's not a magic formula. The phrase contains no power if it's misused or misunderstood. Something in Jesus' name is only if it's to glorify God in the manner which he describes. And you know what? I just believe that there is power in the name of Jesus. You know, I was watching a TV series on SBS called Filthy Rich and Homeless. Has anybody seen this? It's fascinating. Bit of swearing on it. I warn you if your kids are around, but it's basically a bunch of rich people are sent out to live on the streets with some homeless people, and they've got camera people with them and they film them. It's fascinating. Dr. Andrew Rochford, well-known TV doctor, was one of the guys, and he went and stayed in this kind of tent with this homeless Maori guy, and this Maori guy was saying that his son had committed suicide and that he'd been on drugs and he'd been kicked out of home, his marriage had busted up, he's got all these addictions, and this guy's just living on the street with no hope for his life, you know. And Andrew Rochford was just overwhelmed with how bad this guy's life was and the situation was, and he had to walk away. He was so shattered hearing this guy's story, and he looked straight at the camera and he said, "I've got nothing. I've got no answer for this guy. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to help him. I've got nothing to help him." And I thought, that's the world's answer, isn't it? The world has nothing to offer. The world has no solution. Even the government can throw money at it. People can try and get them a social worker. People can try and do this and do that. There can be AA meetings. There can be, you know, there is no answer from the world. Only Jesus is the answer, amen. Only Jesus can save, heal, and deliver. And I want to tell you, friends, that is the good news that we have. No matter how bad someone's situation is, when they come to know Jesus, they can be saved, healed, delivered. They can be blessed. They can be guided. They can come into a church family. Their life can be transformed. Jesus is the hope for every person on this planet, amen. We need to remember to speak the name of Jesus, to share the good news of Jesus, to declare how good he is. So I want to change track a little bit here, and let's look at the names of God. Let's look at this verse in Proverbs 18, verse 10. It says, "The name of the Lord is like a strong tower. The righteous can run to it and be saved." Once again, there's a message there about how Jesus is our Savior. So the Bible uses different names of God to convey specific personal meaning and identity. There's great power in a name. It says who we are. It's what we are known by to all those around us. And there's nothing so powerful as the names of God. God's character and God's name remains the same through all generations. He is fully trustworthy, always powerful, and forever loving. He is constantly present with us, and there's nowhere we can flee from God's presence. Studying what God's word says about all that he can be, all that he is, will help us understand the nature and the character of God. You see, one of the problems in this world today is people have a misunderstanding of who God is. People have a religious mindset of what God is. You know, God is above any label we can try and put him. And when you look at the names of God, there's over 100 names and descriptions of God in the Bible. Let's have a look at this on the screen here. Just going to go through a few of them just to give you an idea, some of the names of God. God is the Almighty. He is the Anointed One. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the bread of life. He's the chief shepherd. He's the consolation of Israel. He's the dayspring, the deliverer, the desire of the nations. Don't you love that one? Isn't that beautiful? He's the Emmanuel. He's the faithful and true witness. He is the everlasting Father. He's the fountain, the friend of sinners. I love the fact that Jesus called a friend of sinners. You know, that was like an insult. All the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who's that Jesus from Nazareth? He's a friend. He hangs around prostitutes and tax collectors. He's a friend of sinners. That was like a cuss word calling him that. I'd love to be called a friend of sinners, amen? Going to the last, the least, and the lost. That's who Jesus went to. That's who we're called to, amen? Jesus is a friend of sinners. He's the gate for the sheep. He's the good shepherd. Let's go over to the next screen. Jesus is also the governor, the great shepherd, the Holy One of Israel. He's the King of Israel, the Lamb of God, the Light of the world, Lion of the tribe of Judah. I can hear the rhythm of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I love that song. He's the Lord of Lords, the Master, the Mediator, the Morning Star, the Passover Lamb, the Physician, the Prince of Peace. Oh, anybody need peace in their life right now? Jesus is our Prince of Peace. He's our Rabbi, our Ransom, our Redeemer, our Refiner. Let's go to the next screen. He's our Refuge, the Resurrection, Righteousness, Ruler of God's creation, the Rose of Sharon, that's beautiful, the Seed of David, the Shepherd, the Son of David, Son of Man, Son of the Most High. He's the Son of Righteousness, the Teacher, the Truth, the Wonderful Counselor, the Word, the Vine. How many of you know there's all these beautiful names of God? Who loves God here? There is so much to our relationship with God that we need to understand when we look at the names of God. A few of my favorite names I'm going to share with you now. So Elohim, where God is creator, preserver, transcendent, mighty and strong. He's also El Shaddai, the God all-sufficient. He's Jehovah, or in our English Bibles we use the word Lord. Yahweh, the covenant name of God. He is El Shaddai, our supplier. Adonai, our master. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals. Jehovah Makadesh, the sanctifier. Jehovah Sidkenu, our righteousness. He is righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Rohi, the shepherd. Jehovah Shema, the abiding presence. Jehovah Sabah, the warrior. There's a book I've been studying this week from Tony Evans, who has written a book called The Power of God's Names. He said, when God secures your victory in his name, have confidence that his name also has the power to give you back what the swarming locust has eaten. God's name covers all, past, present, and future. But it especially covers the giants that taught you in your life. Trust Jehovah Sabaoth. He's got you covered. You know, I just want to challenge you today to study and research and cry out the names of God. When I'm praying, when I'm worshiping, when I'm praying for healing, I'm often saying, you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God who heals. When there's someone that needs victory, I say, you are Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our victory. When there's someone who needs provision, you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Just begin to proclaim the names of God. Speak it out. Proclaim the truth of who God is. And I really believe we need to proclaim the name of Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus. Time and time again, it should always be on our lips, praising the name of Jesus, singing to the name of Jesus. You know, this week, Carla and I watched a movie called Harriet, about an African-American slave who was beaten and whipped. She had, you know, scars all over her back, mistreated as a slave. Horrible, horrible story. And she would get prophetic visions. God would speak to her and show her that she was going to be set free. Because God is a God, you know, of the beginning and the end. God knows the beginning, knows the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the future and the end. He can show us what's going to happen in the future anyway. So she's getting these prophetic visions that she's set free. And then anyway, she feels like God is prompting her to run away and to leave her family and to go to Philadelphia where she can be a free woman. So she escapes, gets chased. You know, there's lots of action. Hollywood's done well with it. You know, she survives, goes 100 miles to Philadelphia, and she gets to go to this new place where there's this anti-slavery federation. And they say, right, now we're going to give you your freedom, your certificate of freedom. You get to choose a new name. You don't have to have your old identity anymore. You get to have a new name. And so she says, I want to be Harriet Tubman. And she has this reasoning behind it. You can watch the movie. It's all good. And she gets a certificate with her new name. And then she lives comfortably for about a year in this beautiful house, this boarding house. And she grieves and misses her family and her slaves, slave friends and brothers and sisters and you know, all her family back home. And she's comfortable in this home. And then she starts feeling conviction. She starts feeling guilty that she gets this life of luxury and she feels God say to her, you need to go back and rescue the other slaves. And she goes to the guy at the Anti-Slavery Foundation and goes, don't do it. You'll never survive. It's a miracle that you made it 100 miles by yourself. You'll never do it. Don't do it. Because it seemed foolish in the world's eyes. But God gave her a vision to go back and save the others. And she'd been given a new name, a new identity. And she said, with God, all things are possible. Anyway, so she does it. She goes back. She feels God tell her to go back and save her husband first. She goes back to see her husband. She turns up. Spoiler alert. Her husband says, I thought you weren't coming back. I married another woman. And she's pregnant with my child. And she's like, you know, devastated. How could that happen? God, you told me to go back. How could that happen? And, you know, she had a crisis of faith in that moment. And so she goes to her family and she says, look, this is what's happened. I came back to get him and, oh, you know. Anyway, 9 people turn up. And they said, we heard you were back and we want to go with you to be free. So instead of her husband coming, she takes these nine people with her. And it's, you know, it's a Hollywood movie, so they start going through the bush to escape, and the white slave owners come with the guns and the dogs and everything, and they're about to get caught. And then God speaks to her and says, don't go that way, go this way. And, you know, God can guide us, and lead. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider, amen. And so God shows her a new way. She escapes, gets to Philadelphia with the nine slaves, and they're like, how did you do that? That is impossible. No one could do that with these people. A woman with a baby and an old woman, how did you get them? It was through God's provision, God's guidance, because God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, you know. Anyway, and then God speaks to her and says, go and do it again. And she goes back a number of times, saves hundreds of people from the horrible cruelty of slavery. And there's this, you know, underground railway, and, you know, it's all, you can look it up in history. And she credits God Almighty that through God all things are possible. God gave her a new name, and she knew her identity in Christ. With Christ, all things are possible, amen. No matter what mountain is in front of you, no matter what Goliath is in front of you, God's name covers all, past, present, and future. But it especially covers the giants that taunt you in your life. We can trust Jehovah Sabaoth. He's got you covered. We need to get a revelation of the power of God. We need to get a revelation of his name. Let's look at this last verse today. If I could have someone come on the keys, please, as we close in just a moment. 1 John 3:19 to 24. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. Verse 23, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. I love reading 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. They're the last letters that the Apostle John wrote to the church. He'd been with Jesus. He'd been through the book of Acts. He'd seen all this amazing kingdom work happen. And this is his last bit of advice. It's a bit like if I knew that Jesus was coming back tonight and this was my last chance to preach to you today, what would be my last words I would share with you? This is some of the Apostle John's last words. He said this. Verse 23, we'll go to verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive anything from him we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, believe in the name of his Son Jesus and love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. The question to you now is, are you keeping God's commands? Are you fulfilling your call, your destiny? Are you like Harriet in the comfortable boarding house in Philadelphia? Where you're thinking, I know God's called me to do that, but I'm just going to stay here and enjoy this lovely life? Or are you saying, yes, God, I'll obey what you command. You tell me to go, I'll go. I was just reading that verse in Isaiah chapter 6 in our daily devotions through our New Hope Bible reading plan. Isaiah said to God, here am I, send me. Are you willing to obey God's command for your life? This last verse says, this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit that he gave us. You know, the Holy Spirit is our counselor who guides us into all truth. You know, this week I interviewed a guy on the radio from Power to Change. It's a ministry, used to be Campus Crusade for Christ, the largest mission organization in the world. When he came to Christ, he'd been raised by unchurched relatives. When he came to Christ, he said this, if this is true, if Jesus really died on the cross, if he really rose from the dead, if the disciples really went out and preached the gospel, if this is true, I ought to give my whole life for this. Not just attending on a Sunday, not just being a lukewarm, half-hearted Christian. having a little bit of God on a Sunday and forgetting about God through the rest of the week. If this is true, I need to do everything God's called me to do. And he sold up everything, left his family in America, and moved to North Africa, to a nation he told me, he asked me not to mention, but it was a nation that's 98% Muslim, where you can be killed for your faith if you're sharing the gospel there. And he lived among these Muslim people, and he taught them how to cook. He taught them how to do woodwork. He taught them life skills. And they asked him, why are you here? What are you doing here? And he told them, I'm here because of Jesus. Jesus saved me. And Jesus loves you and he wants to save you. And one by one, these Muslims came to know Jesus. And he ended up planting underground churches in this Muslim nation, seeing a revival. Instead of living his comfortable, safe life in the US, he went and stepped out and he said, God, here am I, send me. This is how we live under our new name. Not living under the old name where we're comfortable and we're safe and we just live how we want. When we take on a new name under the name of Jesus, when we take on our new identity, we give everything to our Father in heaven. We obey his commands. We are led by his Holy Spirit. I want to challenge you today. Where is your mission field? Where is your harvest field? Just recently, we've had this door open in all these shelters. Pastor Oscar and I have been taking teams out with Barry and a bunch of us going out to all these shelters. And we're seeing people so broken, so wounded. And they're waiting for us to come every Friday with not just a meal, but with hope, with good news. We're surrounded by people all around this city that need the gospel. Are you willing to say, here am I, send me? I want to embrace my new identity, my new name. I want to be all that you've called me to be. I want to bear fruit in this life for you, Lord. Are you willing to go wherever your harvest field is and bear fruit for the kingdom of God? Let's stand to our feet and let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the name of Jesus, by which we can be saved, by which we can be healed, by which we can be delivered. Lord, I pray you'll speak to us about fulfilling the call on our lives. I pray, Holy Spirit, you will be our wonderful counselor and lead us into all truth and give us a fresh revelation of the power of the name of Jesus. Give us a revelation, Lord, that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God who heals. You are Jehovah Nissa, our banner of victory. You are Jehovah Makadesh, the sanctifier. Jehovah Shalom, the peace. Jehovah Rohi, our good shepherd. Jehovah Sabah, the warrior. You are El Shaddai, our supplier. You are Elohim, our creator. Lord God, give us a revelation of how great you are and the calling you placed in our lives. And just before we close the service, I want to give you an invitation today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never asked him to forgive you of your sins, and you want to give your life to Jesus today, in a moment I'm going to pray a prayer where you can have your sins forgiven and you can be born again. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then you'll be saved. If today you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, I just want you to slip up your hand real high and I'll pray with you in just a moment. Is there anyone today that wants to say, yes, I want to receive Jesus? Okay, well, let's pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. I believe if you prayed that prayer, you've received forgiveness of sins. You've been born again. You've started that relationship with Jesus. We'd love to give you a Bible and information about following Jesus if you'd like to come and talk to us after the service. Now we're going to